Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Provocative Thought would like to apologize to all callers, listeners, and downloaders for the apparent absence of the broadcast of the show on abortion on Saturday, 7/27/2018. At 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Your time and input is valued, and we hope that you will continue to tune in to our show at our scheduled times. Sincerely, Carlton Steed, host of Provocative Thought PT. Thank you. Tonight's topic, abortion. Abortion appears to have been practiced by the ancients. There has always been debate around the issue of abortion. Some argue that the embryo or fetus is a human being, feels pain, or the ethical issues of terminating a pregnancy. Let's look at it. Abortion, termination of the life of an unborn child. Webster's Dictionary says the termination of a pregnancy after, accompanied by, resulting in, or closely followed by the death of the embryo or fetus, such as a spontaneous expulsion of a human fetus during the first 12 weeks of gestation. Law, Wikipedia, in terms of the law, Roe versus Wade. The court ruled 7-2, the Supreme Court, ruled 7-2 that the right to privacy under the Due Process Clause and the 14th Amendment extended to a woman's decision to have an abortion, but that this right must be balanced against the state's interest in regulating abortions, protecting women's health, and protecting the potentiality of human life, arguing that these states' interests become stronger over the course of a pregnancy. The court resolved this balancing test by trying state regulation of abortion to the third trimester of pregnancy. That means that up to the third trimester is regulated and sanctioned to have an abortion. I hear they have abortions are given later than that also. We're going to keep going. Blog by Mr. Elihu Fetterman says, 2012 GOP candidates opposed to legalize abortion, echoing notions that a fetus is a full human life entitled to the same protections as any other human life. Reasons people oppose abortion include ethical, moral, and scientific, but the primary basis seems to come from a religious conviction, presumptively on biblical principles, that life starts at conception and therefore terminating a pregnancy is murder. Provocative Thought would like to add to that comment. Life does start at conception. That's the purpose of having an abortion, to terminate life, pregnancy, embryo, or fetus. If there was no life, then there would be no need for an abortion. As for religious dogma or belief, the First Amendment, passed by Congress September 25, 1789, ratified December 15, 1791, the Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of press or the right of the people to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. From American history, the establishment of religion clause of the religion clause of the First Amendment means at least this. Neither a state nor a federal government can set up a church. Neither can they pass laws which aid one religion, aid all religions, or prefer one religion over another. No tax in any amount, large or small, can be believed to support any religious activities or institution, wherever they may be called, or whatever form they may adopt to teach or practice religion. In other words, in the words of Mr. Jefferson, the clause against establishment of religion by law was intended to erect a wall of separation between church and state. I basically brought that law up because of the, where people get the ideas from. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying that they have a thing here called the separation of church and state. You know, so Provocative Thought again. I'm just going to comment again. And with that interpretation of the First Amendment, we cannot use religious belief systems or interpretations to pass laws. We're going to have to use our own minds, be they influenced by religious dogma, science, or both. Religious zealots can thank the corruption and authoritarianism of the established church in 1765 for putting a bad taste in the mouth of the early Americans. Merck Manual Professional on Version says, in the U.S., about half of pregnancies are unintended. About 40% of unintended pregnancies are terminated by elective abortion. 90% of procedures are done during the first trimester. So, before we get to needing abortion, I'm just going to throw this out here. If you have had unprotected sex, this is from Planned Parenthood. They talk about Plan B. It's a pill that works best when you take it within 3 days after unprotected sex. You can get Plan B at your local drugstore or pharmacy. How effective is Plan B? This sounds like a commercial, but it's not. How effective is Plan B? One step and other morning after pills. There's a lot of them. They have different names. Next choice, one step, take action, my way, and after pill. They lower your chance of getting pregnant by 75 to 89% if you take it within 3 days after unprotected sex. They have another pill you could take within 5 days after unprotected sex, but they say, but the longer you wait to take it, the less effective it is. So they also, what they had, they said the pill costs between like on the internet, $40 to $50. Also, you have all these methods of birth control, the BC implant, IUD, BC top, birth control top, you know, vaginal ring, birth control patch, the pill, the condom, the female condom, diaphragm, the birth control sponge. You got the cervical cap, spermicidal, fertility awareness method, FAMS. That's when you know when it's all, when you have a greater chance of becoming pregnant. Withdrawal, good luck with that. Breastfeeding, which is very interesting. They said between the first 6 weeks after birth, breastfeeding 4 hours a day and 6 hours a night, the body stops ovulating, so you have a less chance of becoming pregnant. So you just got 6 weeks for that. So, you know, outer course, good luck with that too. Abstinence, well, you see how many people on the planet, right? Sterilization, tubal ligation, and vasectomy. All right? That's it for the soapbox. Common methods of inducing abortion are instrumental evacuation through the vagina, medical induction, stimulation of uterine contraction. That's like a forced miscarriage through some chemical or herb or something like that. So instrumental means you take an object and you remove the embryo or fetus from the vagina, through the vagina, because, you know, we know the baby's not in the vagina, the baby's in the uterus. So stand to be corrected there. So instrumental typically takes place at more than 14 weeks. That's like 3 months, 2 weeks. Dilation and curettage, DNC they call it. You have a DNC. I heard that a long time ago too. Is used usually with a large diameter suction inserted into the uterus. So they suck the baby out. 3 months, 2 weeks, 14 weeks, suck the baby out. 9 or more than 9 weeks, 2 months, the manual vacuum is used, the MVA. At 14 to 24 weeks, that's like 5 months. That's almost 5 months, ain't it? 14 to 24 weeks, but that's pretty close. Like, that's close to 4 or 5 months. Dilation, evacuation, again, is usually used. But forceps are used to dismember and remove the fetus. And the suction, again, is used to, you know, take out the amniotic fluid, placenta, and fetal debris. So they say depending on the, you know, the age of the fetus, what type of dilator they use, and they have all these different to minimize surgical damage and things like that. So they have couple of dollars that they use. You're not going to even get to the name of the misoprostol and the osmotic dilators based on how far gone you are. Dilators, again, you know, you have a baby, the uterus dilates, and the baby comes out. So that's like, helping a baby come out. So medication induction to induce uterine contraction, chemical-induced miscarriage, basically. It's just like something like that. So medical induction can be used for pregnancies of greater than 9 weeks and less than 15 weeks. If patients have severe anemia, medical induction should not be done only in a hospital because they might need a blood transfusion. In the U.S., medical abortion accounts for 25% of abortions done at more than 9 weeks, 2 months. And more than 9 weeks, that's 2 months and a week, 9 weeks. For pregnancies at greater than 9 weeks, they have other things that they do. They have a receptor blocker, mifepristone, and then they put this analog misoprostol. After 15 weeks, that's like 3 months and 3 weeks, pretreatment with mifepristone and prostaglandins are used to induce abortion. So adverse effects of prostaglandins include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, hypothermia, facial flushing, vasovagal symptoms, bronchial spasms, and decreased seizure threshold. So, seems like the longer you wait, the more risk you are in, which it seems with any medical or surgical procedure. So, history of abortion. The earliest known abortion from Thought Company. Mr. Tom Heed says, the earliest known description of abortion comes from the Ebers Papyrus, CA 1550 BEC, an ancient Egyptian medical text drawn from records dating as far back as the third millennium BCE, before the Common Era. That's the Babylonian Talmud. Nada 23a suggests a Jewish response to it. A woman can only abort something in the shape of a stone, and that can only be described as a lump. Chapter 2 of an early Christian text prohibits all abortion, does so only within the context of a longer passage that also condemns theft, covetousness, perjury, hypocrisy, and pride. Abortion is never mentioned in the Quran, and later Muslim scholars hold a range of views regarding the morality of the practice, some holding that it is always unacceptable, others holding that it is acceptable up to the 16th week of pregnancy. That's through his research. Earliest legal ban on abortion. The earliest legal ban on abortion dates from the 11th century BCE Code of Asura and imposes the death penalty on married women who procure, who get abortions without the permission of their husbands. Now, that doesn't sound like a ban on abortion. That sounds like a ban on getting an abortion without the permission of your husband. But I'm going to go on. So that's what this guy's research. We know that some religions of ancient Greece also had some sort of ban on abortion because there are fragments of speeches from the ancient Greek lawyer Lysias, 445 to 380 BCE, in which he defends a woman accused of having an abortion. Again, abortion is the termination of the life of the unborn child. So this thing about life, you know, that's one of the arguments about, you know, abortion. When does life begin? And, you know, so, you know, the sperm is alive, the egg is alive, is a life form. They both are cells. So sperm is the man-made reproductive cell. From Wikipedia, naked scientists say, yes, sperm, it is a mobile carbon-based life form. Ovum, PUB Med Health says, the egg cell or ovum, it's ovum, O-V-U-M, is the female reproductive cell. The ovum is one of the largest cells in the human body, typically visible to the naked eye. Life science. We die naturally because our cells die. So this egg, ovum, must have life in order for it to give life, right? So we can agree on that. So we know there's life involved in here at, apparently at any stage of this, even before it gets the sperm and the egg meet, there's life. We know that. So when they join together, they create another type of life form, right? So the dictionary of the embryo is the unborn, unhatched offspring, right? The second to eighth week of fertilization. So that's what an embryo is, from the second to the eighth week after a fertilization. So what is it? The first 2 weeks, I guess there's nothing, no name for that. So the fetus is the embryo, right, matured more than 8 weeks after conception. So 8 weeks on, you have a fetus. Younger than 8 weeks, you have an embryo. So, provocative thought again. The questions are many. When does life begin? Once life begins, is it ethical to terminate it? If it is not ethical, should it be legal? You know, because things that are legal aren't necessarily ethical. You know, the separation of church and state, you know, that kind of sees to that kind of like thing. Anyway, when is the fertilized egg or fetus considered to be a person or human being? Is it ethical to terminate the life of the fertilized egg, fetus, or unborn child at any stage? Does the unborn fetus, child, feel pain during the abortion? If so, at what stage of development? Since the sperm cell is alive and the egg, the ovum, is alive, we can theorize that there is life in the beginning. The origin of that life being human, if you terminate that life, you are terminating life or a life form of a human origin. The sperm or egg is not a human being or person. Together, they appear to be the beginning of the development of a human being. Still, the argument is, is it ethical to terminate the fertilized egg or embryo or fetus if the embryo or fetus can feel pain during the procedure? Does it make us child murderers or monsters? Some say the choice to have an abortion should be the option of the individual, in this case, the female, because men can't have babies. Some say the life of the unborn child should be protected, and that abortion amounts to simply butchering the unborn child in the womb or killing it outside of the womb. Is there a point in the development of the embryo that may be considered a more humane stage to perform an abortion? Is abortion simply unethical, legal or not? Some argue a fertilized egg is not a human being until it is born. Others at a particular point of development, and others at conception. Is it better to terminate an embryo or fetus than to have him or her or it suffer later in life? Suffer from rape, poverty, unwanted pregnancy, the age of the mother, you know, you got a child having a baby, the mental health of the parent, genetic issues, birth defects, assault, or even murder. What about the suffering of the mother? Having an unwanted child, the responsibility, depression, fear of giving childbirth. Whose body is it anyway? What about the father? Does he have any right to the unborn child? Can he force a woman to give birth because he is willing to care for the child? The Supreme Court has found laws requiring spouse consent for an abortion to be unconstitutional in Planned Parenthood versus Danforth. The legal reasoning for this twofold, based on a woman's right to privacy in her medical decisions, that's her body, right? And in the fact that the mother is more directly affected by the pregnancy, because their body's going to change. She's at risk of having the babies, yada, 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 right? So we all know that, right? Abort73.com says, in 1990, the late American astronomer Carl Sagan made a philosophical defense of abortion. He said every sperm and egg is beyond the shadow of a doubt alive, are not human beings, of course. However, it could be argued that neither is a fertilized egg. A sperm has 23 chromosomes, even though it is alive and can fertilize an egg. It can never make another sperm. An egg also has 23 chromosomes, and it can never make another egg. Thus, we have sperm that cannot reproduce and eggs that cannot reproduce until they get together. They got to have a party. That's right. We know that, right? So sperm and egg cells in themselves are not complete. If left alone, they will die after a few days. The sperm shares the genetic code of the man. The egg shares the genetic code of the woman. It is only in combination when the 23 chromosomes from the father join the 23 chromosomes from the mother through fertilization that a new biologically distinct human being comes into existence. I'm not reading everything he said. I just took that from there because I thought that was interesting that he's counting chromosomes. Mr. Sagan's argument for abortion appears to be an argument, well, this part of it anyway, because I didn't read the whole thing, appears to be an argument for when human life begins, when the sperm and egg are joined and contribute each 23 chromosomes, the same number of chromosomes of an adult human. But it's not that black and white, especially if the intent is to terminate the life of the unborn child, regardless of the stage of development. Thinking about chromosomes when deliberating terminating a pregnancy. Apparently, some are looking further along the stages of development. That's from PT. So, you know, if he was counting chromosomes, I thought that was interesting that he, you know, was counting them, you know, looking at it in terms of chromosomes. And I'm not saying it's insignificant either, because that's a good point for people who oppose abortion also, right? So the question again, as I previously said, one of the questions anyway, is can a fetus feel pain from life science? This is where this thing gets a little scary. They say what they can say about the fetal nervous system, the neurons that carry signals to the brain system, isn't developed until the third trimester. There's that third trimester again, see? That's probably why that law was made around the third trimester. An American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists is saying in a recent statement, key points in fetal development are required in order for a fetus to perceive pain. One is that the receptors in the skin that sense an injury must be developed. This happens between 7.5 and 15 weeks of pregnancy. That's like 1 month, 3 weeks, to 3 months, 3 weeks, depending on the location of the receptors on the body, according to the review. For example, receptors in the skin around the mouth develop around 7.5 weeks, whereas receptors in the skin around the abdomen develop around 1.5 weeks. Second, the neurons in the spinal cord that transmit the signal up to the brain must be developed. This happens around 19 weeks, around 4 months, one week. Third, the neurons that extend from the spinal cord to the brain need to reach all the way to the area of the brain where pain is perceived. This does not occur until 23 and 24 weeks. Now, those are not exact numbers. As you know, people develop differently in and outside of the womb. So those are just numbers they use for give you a range. It's not until around 30 weeks, 7 months, that there is evidence of brain activity that suggests the fetus is awake, they say. Davis noted, a scientist, noticed that he noticed that while these time frames aren't exact, some fetuses may develop a little earlier. Some fetuses may develop a little later. There isn't any science to suggest that those pathways for pain are complete around the 20th week of pregnancy. Okay? According to a statement from the ACOG, that's American College of obstetricians and gynecologists, again, a fetus brain and nervous system do not have the capacity to process, recognize, or feel pain during the second trimester. That's like 28 weeks or months 4, 5, and 6 of the pregnancy. This serious argument right here, because they one of the arguments is that these children or fetuses can feel pain, the same pain that an average person can feel in the womb. So you having an instrumental or you're being suctioned out, just imagine somebody suctioning you out of out of your house or something, or scraping you out of your house or things like that. So they are saying that this kid is actually being torn apart, dismembered, alive. So, reflexes and stress responses. One argument that is sometimes used to suggest a fetus can experience pain before the third trimester is that a fetus can have a withdrawal reflex or the ability to move away from something when touched. Oh, that sounds like something. You can feel it. But performing a reflex function, they say, and perceiving pain are two different things. I thought that all happens up the central nervous system, but they say it doesn't. So, many reflexes occur at the level of the spinal cord, don't involve the brain at all. Brain is essential for perceiving pain. Another argument is that the fetus in the second trimester can display certain stress responses, such as increased levels of stress hormones. So they said that the hormones are not regulated by the part of the brain associated with consciousness. So I guess it looks like the fetus is responding. If it could respond to anything neurologically, we would logically, we're not scientists, average Joe, me, would think that the baby could feel pain because, hey, you touched it, it moved, it didn't feel safe, it felt stressed, it moved, try to go to somewhere safe. You know, that sounds like the central nervous system is working. And we think that you move as a function of the central nervous system, which can, you know, the brain and, the spinal cord and, you know, the receptors, the nerve receptors. But apparently there's more to that science than we think. And as we go on, we see somebody else says it's more than even what they're saying. So Dr. Lee Torres, an OBGYN, from Salt Lake City, said it is not medically possible for doctors to follow a law that involves administering pain relief to a fetus. Because Utah passed a law requiring that the fetus be anesthetized prior to abortion by DIX. He said, there's lots of problems with that because nobody practices that. So who passed that law? I guess doctors weren't asked about that anyway. Then we have Ms. Sarah Miller from newlife.com. Well, that is Sarah Miller saying that from the doctor's reaction. Anyway. Then we have the thalamus. They say there is indication that some of the neuronal material in your brain is already present, starting to be formed certainly by 20 weeks after conception. But it also turns out that that's not the most important part of your brain for pain perception. So now we have somebody else saying that that's not the most important part for brain perception. This is from newlifenews.com. David A. Prentice, Ph.D., Vice President and Research Director of the Charlotte Lozier Institute. And he's saying that, hey, the thalamus is important. And it perceives, it helps the brain. You don't need the brain to perceive pain. The thalamus, the baby, a fetus, perceive pain. They said there's another deeper layer that forms early in your brain called the thalamus. 8 to 12 weeks, you start to see it forming. Nerve tracks already connect to the thalamus by the time you're 20 weeks of conception. They said individuals who are born without the cerebral cortex, and they feel pain. They said what you need What you need are these deeper parts of the brain and simply the neural tracts for sensation. And those are definitely formed, intact, and responding by 20 weeks after conception. So now we're back to 20 weeks. So life site from Clary Cheriton, October 17, life news again, right? The U.S. House voted 237-189 today to protect pain-capable preborn human babies from grisly late-term abortions. This is the issue here with the this abortion issue today and probably maybe previously. Anyway, there's no federal law prohibiting babies halfway through pregnancy, protecting babies halfway through pregnancy when they can feel pain, they say. The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act prohibits abortions on most babies 20 weeks and older on the basis that they feel pain when they are ripped apart limb by limb in dismemberment or dilation or evacuation. That's sucked out, right? We talked about all the things. We have a caller on 4804, Mr. Jones. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, brother.
How's everything?
Everything is everything. I'm just, you know, this today's topic has taught me a lot.
I know what today's topic is. Let me tell you something. I have conflicts. I got two views about abortion. One is personal and one is professional. Professional, you know, a woman had the right to choose and to make the decision. But without the person that she laid down with, she just could just make the decision without consulting to her partner or her lover or whatever. And, you know, I heard a couple of things.
What'd you say, yes or no to that? What'd you say, yes or no to that?
I'm not saying either.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying either. I'm just giving like a scenario, you know, what happens. You know, some women don't even tell the man that they're pregnant and they go have an abortion because that's what they want. Number two, I think that depending on the circumstances. I mean, like I said, I'm confident. I believe in right to life, and I also a woman has the right, you know, to make that decision because she have to do the hard work, carry it nine months and what have you. You know, she got to do the work, you know, and maybe she might be too young, and it might have been a one-night stand, or she might not know the individual that well, or she not financially ready, or she had other goals in her life, and you say, look, I was prepared to start a family at 30, 35. But personally, in my personal experiences, very sensitive subject for me, in my personal experiences, I had three women do abortion where I even said they was going to do it in my past. You know, and it kind of turned. And also, I want to ask this. Maybe it's my, you know, paranoia. It appears that it seems like most of the Planned Parenthood offices are located in African American neighborhoods.
Or near.
Or near. It appears that way to me. And I read an article about a year ago about Planned Parenthood and Hillary Clinton. The one that started Planned Parenthood, I forgot her name, that's supposed to be Hillary Clinton's hero.
Right.
You know, they bought a lot of black children. they boarded a lot of black children. It's like they are encouraged to go Planned Parenthood and have abortion. They are encouraged to have birth control. You were talking about birth control earlier in your segment,
right?
About the different types of birth control.
Contraception.
Right. And I read an article. Don't you know? I don't know if it's true. I didn't get into the in depth. I didn't research it. What the article was saying, and this was in the Final Call, which is the Nature of Islam newspaper.
Right.
That whites are concerned. They are not birthright. And the second half of that is, so they implemented all these, this is a conspiracy individuals thinking. They implemented all these Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics in or near African-American communities and encouraged women, our sisters, to have abortions.
Right.
Because their population is kind of somewhat decreasing, and our population continues to increase.
Right. You're talking about Margaret Sanger. You're talking about Margaret Sanger.
Yeah. That's her. So I said, well, let me take a look at it. Every time I go into a black neighborhood, there's a Planned Parenthood office. just like a Popeyes. I'm just saying, call that. I don't know. I'm really down the middle. I don't have no perspective on it. I mean, my personal experience. I don't like abortion. I'm anti-abortion personally. But
right.
Professionally,
what about legally?
Professionally,
what about legally?
Professionally, legally. Hey, if whatever the law they instituted, we have to follow.
The law is
a woman has the right to have an abortion. Now I can understand rape and huh?
Do you agree with the law? That's what I'm asking.
That a woman have a right to abortion?
Yeah, it's okay for a woman to have abortion up to the, what's that?
It's her body, man. It's her body. I mean, if it's an agreement between the two individuals that made that baby, okay. You know, go on with it. That's your thing. Y'all got to live with
only
that.
Only takes one.
Huh?
By law,
yeah.
only takes one. It's unconstitutional for a man to tell a woman to depend on the authorization of another party to get an abortion. That's a medical procedure. That's her body.
Yeah. She has that right. Like I said before, she got to do the work. She got to carry for 9 months. She got to go through the vomiting. She got to go through the uncomfortability. She has to nurture her body and her mind and her emotional stability so the baby could be born correct. So I don't know, man. It's a tough. I mean, like again, you know. Then again, it's still killing someone. You know, it really is. When
is it
you were
someone?
Describing how
is
they
it?
Do it.
Oh,
if,
yeah.
When you were describing
at certain stages,
how they.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't even get to.
Hang on for a second. Hang on.
All right. Okay, so
yeah,
while we wait for Kenny. Oh, you there?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm back. Yeah.
Yeah, they had some very descriptive things about abortion in some of my research, and it's Man, I couldn't do it. I couldn't even be the guy that's giving an abortion.
Me, you know what? I had three women that had abortions. And I was very young. And they didn't tell me. The afterwards, one told me they was going to. But what can I do? Nothing I could do.
Nothing. There is nothing to do about it.
Nothing. Ain't my body, it's your body. You know,
right.
So I think that, I don't know. It's a very sensitive subject. And, I have a daughter. And she said, hey, Dad, I'm pregnant and I'm getting rid of it. What can I say? I could say, hey, let's go through it together. I help you raise him or her. You know, his family. We got all the support. You know, but if she, the final decision is up to her.
Okay. Yeah. So what, can you imagine yourself wanting somebody to get an abortion?
I never agreed to abortion in my life.
Okay, I'm just asking. Could you imagine a scenario where somebody's, when you impregnate somebody who you absolutely don't want to or have a child with? Can you imagine?
Can I imagine someone impregnating someone?
Right.
And they having a child, but we weren't serious in a relationship.
Well, however you want to look at it. Well, I'm saying you absolutely don't want a child by this individual. Right? So you can give it whatever scenario you want, but you absolutely don't want
brother,
a child.
Brother, you know, I you got to remember, brother, I come up in an era, an environment where being pregnant was a positive thing. It was a gift. It's a gift. Yeah. And, how can you take that gift away? You know, that's how I was brought up. So.
Well, I just gave you the two ways they do it.
Huh?
Instrumental, right? And chemical, right?
I say have the baby.
Okay.
If the woman's over 18, let her have the child. There have been thousands and millions of women. I can't select neither.
Okay, so what about late-term abortions? You know, some late-term abortions, right? That's the thing we're talking about, involves opening a woman's cervix, right? Putting some seed, they got to use some seaweed, draining the fluid out, and pulling the baby apart limb by limb. Late term abortion. What do you think about that?
That's murder. To me, that's murder. But if the woman wants to go through that process, that's on her. She got to live with that. And let me tell you something, Carlton. You did not address the psychological damage.
Well, you know, I know a young lady. Let me say something about the psychological damage. I know a young lady who we had a conversation about psychological damages to having an abortion. She said she had three and there's no psychological damage. She's fine.
Well, God bless her. She's a freak. Freak of nature. Freak of nature. Women I know mess with them at least for 3 to 6. At least. And let me tell you something else. Some women use abortions as birth control. And there's certain women in your audience know what I'm talking about.
What's the purpose of birth control?
Prevent pregnancy.
Pregnant, all right, so abortion can't be birth control. It's preventing the birth, but it's not preventing a pregnancy, it's terminating the pregnancy.
Right.
So abortion is after the fact. It's not controlled. So now you got to go to abortion. That's why I mentioned those different, whatever those pills, what do you call it, outer sex, withdrawal, FAMs, you know, birth control pills, whatever. I mentioned all that stuff previously. That's the stuff to prevent, to help you not get to this point. And after,
yeah, all
you can't get pregnant if you're not doing
it. But all that is scientific. We got to understand. We as human beings have to understand. We have to be careful what we make out with. It is so loose now. It's so loose. And five different pharmacies. I don't know what's right or wrong, you know, to have five different fathers for a kid to have babies. So I don't know if that's right or wrong. You know, I mean, some women were selected to, you know, be a mother because that's what she is. And it's a positive. You know, all the people, I can say, hey, no way. You know, start calling her
name. Okay, well, we're not We're not going to judge people, are we? We ain't going to judge them. You know, they got five parents, fathers.
That's
what they had. Okay? We ain't judging them.
I say God bless her and get all the support that you can do your thing.
You're breaking
people
up, Kenny.
You
hear me?
Because, I can't hear. No, you probably can't hear me because I'm in the hearing gear to it. They still got dead zones down here. I'll call you back.
Oh, you sound like a robot a little bit. We got another caller. Now, let me get him on here before we close.
All right.
You can stay on.
Hey, Carl.
Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yeah. Hey, Brother
Hello.
Mark.
What's up, Brother Mark? Yes,
I'm
sir.
I'm good, man. Yeah, man, I'm sorry I called in a little late, man. I said, let me call in. You know, I just, you know, just listening to what y'all was talking about. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey. 91.
Yeah,
Carl, what you saying?
Yeah, what were you saying?
I was just calling and listening, right? You know what I mean? A little bit to the show, you know. But, you know what I mean? Basically, I didn't really know exactly what it was based on tonight. You know, but basically, you know, what
abortion.
I was talking about.
Do you approve of it or not? You know, yeah. Late term abortion, does kind of baby feel pain? At what stage can a baby feel pain during abortion? They say a child can feel pain up to 20 weeks. Some say 8 weeks, 9 weeks. The baby can feel pain based on the thalamus and the development of a certain portion of the central nervous system. And that you're murdering these kids the same as murdering or tearing a person apart, and you just do it in the utero. So some people, opponents of abortion, say that it's inhumane. And you're basically ripping a person apart alive.
Mm. Oh,
some people
say
it's a woman's right to have an abortion.
You should explain that how you want it. You said it's an ice cream, and then you said a lemon. What ice? Let me take this up, man. Hold up, man.
Okay. I'm going to go on and read a little bit right here. The most difficult part of the procedure is usually finding, grasping, and crushing a baby's head when they have these procedures, when they those late-term abortions. They have a hard time reaching the baby's head. They say that late-term abortions on babies who would be viable outside the womb are committed by injecting dioxin into the womb, causing fatal cardiac arrest on the baby. Okay, we're getting mixed up here. Causing the baby to feel cardiac arrest for the baby, and the baby can feel the needle piercing his body. The stillborn baby is then delivered, usually several days later. So they inject poison into the baby, kill the baby in the womb, and he's expelled from the body. So the fetus, in many cases, dies just as a human adult or child would. It bleeds to death, and it is torn from limb. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote of D&E abortions in his dissent for Sternberg versus Cohart in the 2000. The fetus can be alive at the beginning of the dismemberment process and can survive for a time while its limbs are being torn off. So this is one of the reasons why these guys are having a problem with this, especially the late-term abortion. I think that might be the bigger issue politically.
Are you going to straighten this out?
So they say a baby was born prematurely at 22 weeks and 4 days. That's like 3 months, and he's a healthy five-year-old now. So they can survive outside of the womb at 22 weeks. Well, this one did anyway. I don't know how many kids would survive. This kid, one kid did. So they say no later than 16 weeks after fertilization, pain receptors are present throughout the baby's entire body, according to doctors on fetalpain.com. Doctorsonfetalpain.com. So they say that pain receptors are present throughout the newborn child's entire body, and nerves link the receptors to the brain's thalamus again and subcortical plate by no later than 20 weeks after fertilization. So they kind of meet on the 20 weeks thing. The pain-capable unborn child protection act says 20 weeks is a uniquely vulnerable time since the pain system is fully established, yet the higher level pain modifying system is barely begun to develop. According to Dr. Paul Vanali, a neurologist of the University of Toronto, this suggests that 20-week-old babies might feel pain more acutely than older people. Okay? So, Kathy Altman of the board certified OBGYN, right, ACOG fellow and former abortionist said, it is clear that the fetus is capable of mounting a physical stress response to noxin stimuli as early as 18 weeks gestation. So 18 weeks gestation is 16 weeks post-fertilization. So we know how developed the nervous system is at 20 weeks, he said. They feel that connections between the cortex and the thalamus are not yet developed or not yet enough developed, and therefore the fetus can't feel pain the way you and I feel pain. The cortex is the part of the brain responsible for sensation. The thalamus is the part of the brain through which sensory impulses pass to reach the cerebral cortex. So, you know, that's part of the problem there. So, doctors on, we don't have a lot of time. I'm just going to run through some of this. Claim one, in order to feel pain, you need the cerebral cortex. They say that's not true. They say nerve link receptors to the thalamus by 20 weeks, right? Claim two, gestation, the unborn child is asleep or in a coma-like state and therefore cannot experience pain. In response to that, the unborn child, when touched, will awaken. Further, fetal surgeons have found it necessary to sedate the unborn child with anesthesia to prevent the unborn child from thrashing. So, you know, there's a lot there, you know, to think about.
Let me go by. So while that was the same thing.
We don't have a lot of time. I want to say thank you to all our callers and listeners. Thank you to everybody who's downloading the show.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
Next provocative story. I want to thank We Talk Productions.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
Mark for calling.
You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and chip out
about,
the beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
Sounds like it's a horrific.
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon going a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew
to
eat hog maw confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised.
About what it is you're going to do.
The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape
again,
of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
The revolution will not be televised.